we say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
I'm not gonna spend my life being a color.
Tell me you agree with me when I saw you kicking dirt in my eye.
It's Race Across America, 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Race Across America's special Independence Day, 4th of July show. You're listening to the show America's been waiting on for 400 years, telling both sides of the race issue, something that's awfully rare today, the present as well as the past, progress as well as the problems. You're going to hear everything here today. Open, honest dialogue. Nobody gets a free pass. Everyone, all races are held accountable for what they say and do, including ourselves. If you want to keep Race Across America on the air, go to our website at raceacrossamerica20.com. Shows you how you can support us. I'm Paul White. My co-host is LaMarcus Tinker. LaMarcus, what else does our audience need to know about us in our show before we get going today?
All right, Paul. Well, thank you, and hello to all of our listeners, and hello to everyone that is viewing us right now live here in studio on our Facebook Live. Just want to let you know we love to hear your feedback and your questions. We want you to call us. We want you to challenge us. Call us at 775-884-9910. And you can also, like Paul said, visit us at raceacrossamerica20.com. Again, that number is 775-884-9910. We are live here on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, Fox News Radio. Again, call in. We want to hear from you. And as everybody knows, Paul is always going to do something to upset our listeners, right? Uh-oh. So let's go ahead and jump into it today, Paul.
Oh, we got
set it on fire, huh?
It's going to make them like it and hate it and laugh and cry, and that's what we want. It's all about the truth. Happy 4th of July, American Independence Day. It's 244 years since the Declaration of Independence was approved, not signed, by the Second Continental Congress in 1776. Lots of interesting race-related issues surround this day, so we're going to do something today called Celebrating and Regretting. We're celebrating the Declaration of Independence, our Founding Fathers' vision of freedom and liberty that was unlike anything the world had ever seen. The only country in history not founded on a race, religion, or ethnicity, but on an idea of limited government and liberty for all. But we're also regretting today the fact that of the 56 men who signed that incredible Declaration of Independence that included the words, all men are created equal, and God gives all men life and liberty, 41 of those 56 signers were or had been slave owners. The irony that 500,000 blacks were slaves in America on that 4th of July when the Declaration of Independence was celebrated, that irony was addressed by former slave Frederick Douglass in a famous speech given in 1852, and he called it, "What to the Slave is the 4th of July?" But we're celebrating that 87 years after the Declaration of Independence, President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation that finally freed the slaves. But we're also regretting today that the Emancipation Proclamation did not free all the slaves, but only those in what were called the Confederate States. It took another 2 years for the remaining 400,000 slaves in the five border states to get their freedom. And then there's Texas. LaMarcus, as part of the Confederate States, Texas slaves were officially freed by the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863. But because the South controlled most of the state, Texas slaves did not hear that they were free until over 2 years later, June 19, 1865, now known as Juneteenth, the official freeing of America's last slaves. So, in conclusion, we're celebrating today that all men and women finally got to fully pursue their freedom and liberty in America. By the 1980s, more African immigrants had voluntarily come to America for freedom and opportunity than ever came as slaves. America has gone on to become the least racist multiracial country in history, and the only white majority country in history to ever elect a black leader. America's given more freedom and liberty to more countries and people than any other country in world history. But we're regretting that June 19th, 1865, is not equally celebrated with the 4th of July as a National Independence Day holiday as it needs to be. This is a no-brainer. Doing this would give America the chance to celebrate not only the vision and goal of liberty and justice for all, and that's an incredible vision and goal from the original Declaration, but it would also celebrate making that goal more than words, making it a real reality for all Americans. Making Juneteenth a national holiday, a co-independence day, it's unarguably the right thing to do. It'd be such an easy and powerful unifying step for the Congress to take before the end of this year. I'm hopeful this can happen. After all, just this week, 157 years after the end of the Civil War, Mississippi legislators finally voted to remove the Confederate flag from their state flag. So, I feel like good things are happening, LaMarcus, with lots of room left to go. Where are you on all this?
Well, Paul, I appreciate you breaking down history. You know, I felt like I was watching the History Channel as you were breaking that down today. And, you know, one of the things you referenced is you talked about when the country was founded and how majority of those men that signed the Declaration owned slaves. Mm-hmm. And then you broke it down to where, you know, this Emancipation Proclamation was done. And then 2 years later, that's when officially all the slaves, you know, were found out that they were free in Texas.
Right.
And I think that one of the things we need to remember is the amount of slaves that were in Texas at that time, right?
Right.
And so if I'm not mistaken, and if my numbers are right here, and I believe they are, mm-hmm. I do believe it was approximately 3 million slaves in Texas at that time.
No, it was several hundred thousand.
Yeah,
no, I can guarantee it.
And so, you're going to let me finish? Mm-hmm. I think you are. And so there was, as you say, 700,000.
No, again, several
hundred thousand. Mm-hmm. And so, again, the numbers and the amount of people doesn't really matter. What matters is that they were still slaves. And so then you talk about how we progressed and how we moved forward as a country and how we're the most multicultural country in the world. And on paper and in images, that looks good. And then we talked about how this country elected the first African-American president. And again, these are all things that I've been trying to stress on this show that are not at the root of the problem that we are facing. And so, granted, July 4th and June 10th and these dates are significant in history, but the issues that we're dealing with is the destruction that these events and that the things that led up to these events are still lingering within this country as a whole. And so I think about something and I say that our nation too often has attempted to cover up, parade up, and celebrate up rather than face up the issues that we have done and the things that we have done to each other. And we would much rather celebrate it, create a parade for it, cover it up and not have these types of discussions, Paul. And so I'm glad you gave us the history lesson and I appreciate it. I feel like I learned something today from the educator. But let's get to the heart of the problem, right? So the heart of the issue is you have a 4th of July date that we've all been, I guess you could say, programmed or taught that we need to celebrate, right? Mm-hmm. We need to barbecue. We need to get the families together. And the issue that a lot of people are realizing now because of the current events is that, wait a minute, I am celebrating something that wasn't even meant for me necessarily. It was not really meant for me to be able to celebrate it. In theory, yes. In words, yes. But in actions, not so much. And that is the thing that I've been trying to get everybody to understand that's been listening to our show, Paul, is that yes, on paper it says this, and yes, in your books it says that, and yes, in the images and the billboards and all these things, it says that we are equal. It says that we have the same liberties and rights, but what is the reality of it? Mm-hmm. The reality for a lot of African Americans and minorities in general, I don't want to just classify it as African Americans, minorities in general, the reality is it feels like we are still in Texas. It feels like it's on paper. Some of us have been notified. Some of us have been told, but yet we are still in Texas. We are still waiting for the opportunity to, like you said, Paul, be free. And I think one of the biggest things, and this is something that I've heard a lot of brothers and sisters say of all different nationalities, is that none of us are free until those that are oppressed are no longer oppressed. Do you understand what I'm saying, Paul? So it feels that way. So we talk about 4th of July and we talk about Juneteenth as being the days that we found out and everybody was created equal and we elected a black president. And somehow, some way, by electing a black president, that somehow means racism doesn't exist. That somehow means oppression doesn't exist. I don't think so. And I think that is the issue that we are addressing, is the deep rooted seeds from that time, Paul.
Okay, well, LaMarcus, I forgot to add with people. LaMarcus and I are dear friends. We love each other. We share the same faith. We share the same concern for this. But I tell you what, if you're, Emerson said one time, a friend is someone with whom I can be myself. And so, LaMarcus, I got to be myself and say that the comments you made are absolutely at the root of what's keeping the race thing from healing. In other words, all around us, where on earth, where? Is there anything in housing, education, the courts and law enforcement, opportunities to start jobs? Where is any of this that a black man or woman is being held back? In other words, the job opportunities are limitless. Blacks have the highest unemployment rate. They don't want them. The schools are there and they're offering great education, and blacks and other minorities are all getting a good education when they want it, and the ones who don't have it don't want it. And so there's no oppression other than this endless whining and complaining about that these things are going on. And so here's what we can get into. Okay, Black Lives Matter, this is really interesting. Depressing for me, actually. The Pew Research Center says that 62% of all Americans support Black Lives Matter, including 90% of what's called Generation Z, 13 to 25-year-olds, 85% of the state of Massachusetts. Well, rather than bang my head on the wall as to why there's even 1% support, let's just take it calm. And LaMarcus and I are going to go back and forth on Black Lives Matter's main points so that 62% of America can hear this and listen and think, okay, well, do I support this? Okay, here we go, LaMarcus. I just want to, and I'll throw it out there and you can give me a rundown. One primary point of Black Lives Matter is get rid of police and prisons as we know them. Okay, the pressure is building to do this, especially in Democrat-run cities. Last couple months, crime rate is up 250% in L.A., where they want to back off the cops. 72 people were shot last week in New York City. Chicago saw 114 shootings and 18 murders last week. Okay, how are you with that, with Black Lives Matter? They want to get rid of police and prisons like we know them. Are you in or out on that one?
Well, let me just be clear, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. I am not an advocate for eradicating police officers. I am an advocate for structuring and education and teaching of officers for longer extended period of times. Their training needs to be longer. So I am not for eradicating police, because I believe, again, everything has its place. But if you're going to give somebody the freedom to kill at will, you need to make sure that you do your due diligence before you give them a gun. And so to answer that question is, Paul, if that is what Black Lives Matter says, or Lives Matter say, no, I am not an advocate of getting rid of police. I'm an advocate of them being trained better. I'm an advocate of deeper and deeper dives into their backgrounds, into their thoughts, into their feelings. And I am an advocate for restructuring budgets to put more into the community and still keep the police funded at the same time. Okay. I think we could do that. I think that's possible, Paul.
Yeah. Well, again, in the defund the police thing, it's we've got a crime wave we haven't seen in 25 years. All righty. Another step. These are all right off their website and their public talks. Black Lives Matter supports if you're one of the 62% that says, oh, I support Black Lives Matter, you want to dismantle the typical nuclear family. Fathers are not essential. Children can be raised perfectly well by groups of women with a strong emphasis on lesbian parents. This isn't just picking something out of the air on homosexuality. Go to their website, Black Lives Matter. This is one of their big things. So the 75% of black children, and too many of every race, currently being raised without a father in the home is proven to be a huge factor, if not the determining factor, in a child having less education and employment and more criminal behavior in their future. Black Lives Matter says dads in the home are not necessary at all. LaMarcus, where are you on that?
Oh, that is ridiculous, Paul. You know, let me be clear. We're talking about Black Lives Matter, an organization that, you know, I haven't seen their website, and this could be factual, and if it is factual,
it is.
Well, then that's ridiculous. But again, I have no way of vetting that and knowing if that's true or not. But what I will say is this, though, Paul, let me be clear. Fathers need to be in the household. Dads need to step up. And if that is something that an organization is advocating for, I don't care who you are, you need to sit down, you need to shut up, and you need to think about the family and why it's so important to have a father in the household, a mother in the household, and have a tight-knit unit as a family. But, you know, something's bothering me, Paul.
Yep.
I don't think Black Lives Matter organization, or any organization for that matter, can speak for the black family or the black culture when it comes to men being in the household. And that's something that bothers me, is because we keep bringing that up. And it's like the elephant in the room. And the bottom line is, yes, there is an issue in African-American communities where black men are not taking responsibility and doing what they are supposed to do. And I am an advocate and a person that is all about putting fathers in the home and putting men in their children's lives and their daughters' lives and being their first love and being their son's first hero. I am an advocate of that for any culture. And so I want to address that, because that keeps getting brought up. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things where it's like, well, if your dads were in the household, maybe you wouldn't be, you know, committing crimes. If your dads was in the household, maybe we wouldn't have an issue
with the
police. And the bottom line is, yeah, if the dad was in the household, that would provide discipline and structure. But it's not just about the dad being physically in the house. The dad needs to be emotionally and spiritually present in the house as well, because just his presence alone, it may provide some level of defense and hesitation for a child to, you know, not want to act out. But let's be clear, if he is not there physically, I mean, if he is not there emotionally and spiritually, that block is only going to stay for so long. So let me be clear. And that doesn't apply to black homes or Hispanic homes. That applies to white America as well, Caucasians and Asians. That applies to everybody. And so I just want to address that, because it keeps getting brought up, and it's a bit irritating.
Well, but see, the reason, but it needs to keep being brought up, LaMarcus, until something's done about it. Black Lives Matter totally ignores it. In other words, there isn't a factor any bigger than a father in the home for what a kid turns out like. I mean, this 10 times the violent crime rate by black males is absolutely parallels, the out-of-wedlock rate parallels the crime rate with every race. Blacks least, Latinos next, whites next, Asians the most, dads in the home. Black Lives Matter ignores this. A father in the home, and like you say, there's shades of excellence, a really great father versus a dad who's just there, but the statistics are so clear. Any responsible man in the home greatly greatly changes the direction of the kid. Okay, here's another one. Black Lives Matter says they care about black lives. Too many being lost. But they don't say one word about the two greatest losses of black life annually. And one is the highest abortion rate in the country, 5 times the rate of whites, 360,000 black abortions a year. That's 360,000 black lives destroyed. And the black-on-black crime, the 6,000 murders per year, 8 to 10 times the rate of whites and Latinos. Now, since this defund the police came along, black-on-black deaths are up. So BLM's premise on this, they say absolutely nothing about the black abortion rate or the black-on-black crime. And since just within the last few months, black-on-black deaths are up, including Minneapolis, Milwaukee, Chicago, 18 murders last week. So where would you be on this, LaMarcus? How do you, or do you, I certainly don't, justify, or and 62% of America, how do you justify an organization that we care about black lives and the two greatest things that take black lives, they don't say a word about? What's your thought on that, LaMarcus?
Well, Paul, first I just want to remind our listeners and our viewers that you can call us at 775-884-9910. We want to hear from you. We want you to get involved in the conversation. If you feel something, call us and tell us. If something's brewing inside of you, this is the time. Get in the conversation.
Yes.
And so let me go back to this Black Lives Matter topic that we're harping on and we're talking about. Paul, I don't know exactly what I have not seen the Black Lives Matter website with these facts and these points and these statistics that you are putting out. But again, I am not an advocate for abortion. I am not an advocate for black kids or white kids or any kids being pregnant or teen pregnancies or having to deal with that at a young age. And a lot of those things do have to do with parenting. A lot of those things do have to do with father figures and mothers and circumstances. But one of those things has to deal with the accessibility that these young people have to this type of treatment. When you look at the type of things that are done, the type of advertisements that are ran in a lot of these minority communities, they're not the same ones that are ran in the suburbs. And that is something I think a lot of people don't understand either. You have multi-thousands and thousands of, you know, Planned Parenthood commercials running in the inner city and the low impoverished communities. But when you cut on the TVs in suburban neighborhoods, you rarely ever see anything about a Planned Parenthood. A lot of this has to do with the programming that is being put out where these young girls, and granted these young boys, whether black, white, or otherwise, are doing things and engaging in actions that, yes, they should not be at a young age. But then when they cut on the TV and when they cut on the radio and they're constantly being pushed and programmed that it's okay, it's okay, all you have to do is come and see us, that's a problem. So in again, this idea that Black Lives Matter stands for these items, I've never seen it. I've never read it on their website. And listen, Paul, if that's what you're saying it says, I'll have to check it out. But let me be clear. Black Lives Matter, any lives matter, or are all organizations. If you are perpetuating a teen pregnancy, if you are perpetuating abortions, again, you need to sit down. You need to shut up. And you need to have a human experience with these individuals that you are pushing to go and do these types of things. Again, there's a lot at play in these environments, and it's not all just in the house. A lot of it is when they go into the schools, when they go into the neighborhoods, and what they're being presented with. And it's not equal across the board, Paul. It's just not.
Well, going back to what you said, LaMarcus, this idea that why, you know, there's just this talk and why don't these things change? It's because Black Lives Matter, what you see on their website, what screams at you is the lack of things. You mentioned Planned Parenthood centers. 79% of Planned Parenthood places where you can go get an abortion, 79% are walking distance from urban black poor, minority poor of all urban areas. So why, if BLM cared about lives, why wouldn't they even mention this? If they'd care about the lives being taken, how can they not mention a murder rate, a black-on-black murder rate that's out of control? Now, based on this, you're familiar with Terry Crews, famous black actor. He he's got to give him a lot of respect. He spoke out. He does what most white people are going along saying, oh, yeah, I'm for Black Lives Matter, and they don't have a clue what they believe. I'm kind of waiting to hear out of 40 million blacks in the United States, I'm trying to think of almost any I've heard speak out against Black Lives Matter, with the exception of our Larry Elder, Candace Owens, Thomas Sowell, on and on. But Terry Crews, Hollywood guy, spoke up. He said, you know, the goal is that Black Lives Matter too, not Black Lives Better. I'm quoting him. Black supremacy is no better than white supremacy. Now, when he said that this week, he didn't get supported by anybody. There wasn't one black celebrity spoke up, not one. Said, right on, Terry. And Terry added this. He said, a bad attitude and resentment can cause a dangerous self-righteousness. He said, if you're a child of God, you're my brother or sister. And I'd say amen to that. Now, here's what Black Lives Matter is doing. What they're saying is that, quote, the U.S. government and vigilante groups of whites are specifically targeting blacks to kill them. And blacks today are not free and get no justice in America. I'm quoting, whites have done nothing to improve black situation. When we get back from the break, Lamar, because I'm dying to hear what you think about Terry Crews and that last thought.
Absolutely, viewers. We want you to call in 775-884-9910. We're live here, Race Across America, on 99.1 FM Talk, Fox News Radio. And when we come back, Jack, we're coming to you on the line.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910.
All right, folks, welcome back to Race Across America here live on Fox News Radio, KKFT 99.1 FM. As we always say, we want to hear from you. Call us 775-884-9910. And with that being said, we have a caller on the line all the way from Ventura, California. Mr. Jack, you are live on Race Across America, sir.
Well, thanks for having me. I love your show. I used to work for Paul White. He taught me a lot, even though I was in my late 50s when he hired me.
Hey, Jack.
I learned so much from that man. I can't tell you this in 30 seconds. But what I can say is that I am against Black Lives Matter for one reason and one reason only. It's the ideology issue. They are being pushed by socialists and communists, and that's what they're trying to do. I'm working on a video right now on my channel, and I talk about liberty versus license. People like us, you on the show, Mr. White and me, our wives or our families, we want liberty, okay? We want to take personal responsibility. These communists, they don't care. They want control. They want to upend our country. They want to erase our history. They want to take away what we've worked so hard for and previous generations worked so hard for, and they don't care. They want supremacy. They want to rule, okay? And they are supporting violence at these rallies. They are supporting Antifa. They are supporting anyone that says all lives matter. I had a lady get in my face last week. Because I'm an All Lives Matter person. She wanted to know why I was not a Black Lives Matter person. I just told her, I said, all lives matter. And she said, you know what? I said, you're wrong. And she got my face. And I walked away. So I said my piece. I think it's a terrorist organization. And I want it to go away.
Thanks for calling, Jack.
All right. Well, thank you, Jack, for your call again. We want to hear from you, your feedback, challenge us, 775-884-9910. Now, before the break, Paul, you talked about Terry Crews, mm-hmm. who is another, you know, fellow actor in the business, and a really great man. And here's something, I have his quote that you were reading, and you're talking about what he said. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he said, you know, if you're a child of God, you're my brother or you're my sister. And you know what's interesting is that I'm shocked that nobody came out and supported him, because the reality is I do believe that. I do believe that it doesn't need to be white supremacy or black supremacy. It just needs to be one supremacy, and that is God. But here's the thing that I want to kind of clear up, because I feel like we've been on this Black Lives Matter thing for too long. And let me say this. oftentimes the conversation about the actions that took place by individuals gets convoluted and we get distracted when we want to just focus now on Black Lives Matter organization, or we want to focus on, you know, like John was saying, the All Lives Matter, and we lose sight of the issue. We lose sight of why we even came to the table in the beginning. And that is because people were being murdered, whether black or white or otherwise, and there was no justice being served. There were people getting away with things and things were not taking place. And there was this uproar of people saying, you know what, enough is enough. You're not going to keep telling me that I didn't see what I saw when I did see it. And so we're getting on this Black Lives Matter thing. And listen, more power to them, more power to the organization or whatever organization. The bottom line is, let's not lose sight of the issues at hand. Let's not get wrapped up in the organizations and all of them, all of the organizations, because we have individuals that listen to this broadcast that are for Black Lives Matter, that are for the KKK. Oh, we had that phone call last week, Paul. And so we have people that are just wrapped up in organizations instead of wrapping up in the issues. And with that being said, we're going to go to our phone lines. We've got a caller coming in. I'm sorry, two callers coming in. Oh, what, we lost some producers, going to work on that. So, Paul, when it comes to Terry Crews, and I really don't want to talk about this Black Lives Matter thing anymore. Well, when it comes to Terry Crews and his issue, I agree. If you're a child of God, you're my brother or you're my sister.
Right. Well, but LaMarcus, here, you got to make a decision. You say, I'm tired of this stuff being talked about and nothing being done. Black Lives Matter is universally acknowledged as the most powerful political organization in the country right now, one of the best funded, as much as a $1 billion commitment. They are driving the train that is tearing the fiber of the country apart, making race relations worse than they've ever been. To say I don't want to talk about it is to say just what's gone on for 400 years, LaMarcus. Of course we got to talk about it and call them out and say, for instance, they say on their website, we practice peace. Okay, how's this sound? The head of their New York City branch, a guy named Hawk Newsom, he says, I felt liberated watching a bank burn down in Minneapolis. If Black Lives Matter, I'm quoting, doesn't get what it wants, we're going to burn down the whole system. I endorse violence because it's the only way to go get things done. LaMarcus, when you got $1 billion and you got 62% of the United States thinking you're really good and you're following Marxism, not capitalism, which has helped more black people out of poverty, to say I don't want to talk about it is like the people that said they didn't want to stand up and back Terry Crews. Black Lives Matter avoids the causative issues and just tries to say, oh, it's terrible, we're being hunted. No, you aren't. There's not a statistic that says, yeah, the cops are shooting you. 2%, 4% of the whites are getting shot. Nobody, see, Black Lives Matter hides from statistics, hides from debate. They just get out there with their chants. What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them? Now. That's their chant. So it'll come back.
It'll come back when the conversation.
Yeah.
Again, and let me be clear. I didn't say I didn't want to talk about the issues. I said I'm tired of talking about one organization. They don't represent everybody. And so I think that's all I'm saying is we can talk about some of the other issues instead of harping on Black Lives Matter, because we want to jump on that because we want to pull our statistics and we want to pull quotes and we want to basically say, well, you know what? They're a horrible organization and they're talking about representing black lives. So are we trying to draw a conclusion that they are somehow some way representing and they're horrible and they're individuals to black people? And so again, that is my concern and my issue with it. Let's go to the lines. We have Jerry on the phone from Carson City, Nevada. Jerry, you're live here on Race Across America, sir.
Hey, thank you, Marcus and Paul. Hey, I agree with your first caller that Black Lives Matter is a communist Marxist organization. And can we still stay on the topic of the loss of lives in the black community? Apparently with Planned Parenthood killing through abortion many millions of black Americans, and their lives do matter. And then I appreciate Paul bringing up the black-on-black interracial or inner-city murders, probably due to drug abuse and drug sales. So So, and George Floyd, yes, that was a travesty and a tragedy that that man had to lose his life the way he did. But there's many thousands and millions of Black Americans that are losing their lives through abortion, and that is a bigger tragedy. Paul bringing up the black on black, that's awesome, and that's wrong. That is sin, and that is wrong. And this nation needs to turn back to God.
No, thanks for calling, Jerry. You're right. Okay, LaMarcus, we'll follow you. Let's switch over. We're going to do what we call the statue removal update. Okay, statue removals. That's kind of a thing that really catches the news. And again, Black Lives Matter pushing this all the way. The Antifa and the liberal Democrats behind them, okay? Begs the question, LaMarcus, why are cities allowing destruction of public property? If anybody wants a statue removed, you can go lobby your city council. Council decides, take it down, it goes down. What's incomprehensible is why they're allowing this group. For instance, I'm having to wear a mask out in public and stay my distance from people. They're allowed thousands of these looters and protesters to knock over hundreds of thousands worth of statues because they don't like them. Let's look who's up for removal, according to the anarchists. A statue of Lincoln and a freed slave got vandalized or dumped. That really is a horrible racist thing, highlighting freedom of slavery. A Holocaust statue. They're against that. They want to pretend it didn't happen or it was racist. Columbus. Francis Scott Key, the writer of the national anthem. They wanted to destroy a statue commemorating black soldiers who fought in the Civil War. This was vandalized. Fresno State is considering pulling down the statue of Gandhi. Here's my question, LaMarcus. If we pulled down the statue of every white person in America, would that help black Americans? Would it increase the lowest literacy rate in our schools? Would it lower the 10 times violent crime rate? Would it reduce the out-of-wedlock rate? Would it reduce the HIV rate? Now, let's take a favorite of mine, Martin Luther King. Loved this guy and everything he stood for. Heard him speak when I was about 10 or 11 years old in Detroit. Now, he's got statues. They're not talking about taking them down. But let's go back. Much as I love Martin Luther King, much good as he did, here's a few facts. A guy who was known for his words, a serial plagiarist, everything from his master's thesis on up. An adulterer, the night before he was shot, he had three separate women. And this is all from the FBI tapes and from a book by Ralph Abernathy, who was King's number one man. Had three separate women who weren't his wife the night before he was shot. Participated in orgies. There's an FBI tape, King's main biographer and Abernathy, proving that King's presence in the hotel room where a minister supporter was sexually assaulting / raping a female follower, and Martin Luther King was encouraging the man to do it. Now, there's no argument. Did this stuff happen? It's everywhere. You can get the info. Here's the question. I wouldn't suggest for 1 minute to take down a statue of Martin Luther King. Any more than I would at Jefferson or Washington, okay, or Lincoln. They had their flaws, just like King did. It had nothing to do with being white or black, and their principles outweighed their flaws. But that's what's getting lost in this mindless activity to tear these statues down, LaMarcus. Where are you at on the statue removal?
Well, on the statue remover, you know, to be quite honest, Paul, I'm a firm believer that a man's personal life and his personal actions and things that he's doing should not necessarily affect what he's contributed to the world. I didn't say he was perfect. I didn't say he was right, whether it be Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln, or whomever. But I do feel that their contributions to this country deserve to be remembered. And deserve to be honored. Now, there are individuals who have statues who contributions to this country should not necessarily be remembered.
I agree.
Or taught for future, you know, times to come. And now, those individuals, I will have the conversation and say, yeah, take it down. What's the purpose of leaving it up? just like we said, take down the flags that were flying in Mississippi last week, Paul. Right. Like that, I mean, there's just some things you just have to say, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But how would you and do then there's them, other things. What, legally what do you mean? Or illegally?
Take no, it would have to be done legally. There, I'm speaking against this because, again, you keep inferring and keep saying to me legally or illegally as if I am an advocate for illegal activities. I am an advocate for doing everything legally. And with that being said, we're going to go to the phone lines. We've got Teddy on the phone from Eureka, Nevada. Go ahead, Teddy. Teddy, are you there, Teddy?
Yeah, I am. Hey, I got a quick question. It's not on what y'all on, but mine is, you know, a person goes to prison. When they get out of prison, they go through all type of stereotyping. They go through all type of hell just to get a job. And they try to do all they can to become members of society. And most of society closes the doors on them. But they talk about recidivism rate of them constantly going back. Well, it's because they out here struggling. I mean, why can't some of these people, some of these high-class people, open doors or help us out and help the people get on their feet so they can become decent members of society and pay taxes?
Well, Teddy, let me jump on this. Now, I got a friend named Teddy who got out of prison. And my friend Teddy who got out of prison, I've worked with men getting out of prison for 40 years. And most of the ones that get out of prison don't want to work, go back to using drugs and alcohol, don't obey the law, and so they recidivize. Now, my friend Teddy is clean and sober, a church-going man, a hard-working man. He was in prison over 20 years. He got hired practically right away every place he went and is easily doing the best of any man I've ever worked with coming out of prison. And here's the interesting thing relative to our show. My friend Teddy happens to be black. But that didn't even touch him because all these things he's doing, not only is my friend Teddy a good example for anybody getting out of prison, my friend Teddy ought to be run up the flagpole for all these people who are saying America's out to get the black man. My friend Teddy is just killing it. He's doing so well. LaMarcus?
All right, Paul. Well, thank you, Teddy, for your call. We appreciate you calling in and giving us your feedback. And, Teddy, you brought up something that is a whole other rabbit hole that we're going to touch on here, and that is the incarceration rate of minorities in this country. It is out of control. And like you said, Teddy, you know, when individuals get out of prison, they've believed to have served their time, but yet when they get out, they are still forced to serve time. Time to where they cannot get a job, time to where they are having a hard time getting a good education, time to where people are judging them and looking at them sideways, even though they've already served the time for whatever crime it is that put them in prison. And so, Teddy, I think your point is very valid and very important for discussion, and that is something we're going to have to tackle here on the show at a later date, Paul. I think Teddy had a very good point, and we want to make sure that we come back to it. So, Teddy, you know, you have our word. We will definitely discuss that because, again, that is a bigger issue as well that we just don't have the time today to jump into, but we want to. And so thank you again, Teddy, for calling in. To all of our listeners, again, and viewers, you can call in at 775-884-9910. Paul, what you got?
Okay, LaMarcus, we only got about 5 minutes, so this will be our last one. Okay, it's been said this week, a number of people. There's just no such thing as reverse racism. A black person can't be racist. Or black supremacy, there's no such thing. Okay, here I want to get your take on this. We're talking about the NFL. We're talking about two all-star players. Antonio Brown, black player, most recently I think with the Raiders or Patriots. Drew Brees with the New Orleans Saints, a quarterback, both all-stars. Okay, Antonio Brown had an issue with a white general manager on the team. He got fined because Antonio Brown is just well known and acknowledges his desire to break whatever rules he doesn't believe in. So his GM, a white guy, fined him. Antonio Brown went out to his face, surrounded by many people, called him a cracker, great white slur. Just think if somebody called Antonio Brown a black slur, same thing. Called the guy a cracker to his face, threatened to punch him, had to be restrained. Okay, let's see what happened to it. And okay, now let's go to Drew Brees. Drew Brees was crazy enough to make the statement, I don't agree with anybody asked about players kneeling. Drew Brees said, I don't agree with anybody who disrespects the flag. When you stand for it, it'll shows unity that we're all in this together trying to do better. Okay, Antonio Brown, calling a white guy a cracker. I want to bust him in the face. Drew Brees, speaking to the black players kneeling, I think everybody should respect the flag. We're all in this together. Okay, let's see. Is there reverse racism? Antonio Brown didn't get fined 1 cent. Not one NFL player spoke up saying, oh, what a terrible racial slur. He should never play again. He never apologized to the general manager. Okay, Drew Brees, every black player on his team went crazy. Oh, Drew Brees, what a racist. What a horrible, ignorant thing to say. I don't know if I could play with Drew Brees. Maybe they should trade Drew Brees. And Drew Brees comes out and falls all over himself, apologizing, saying it was humiliating. It was so sickening. Drew Brees said, oh, I just can't believe how much I hurt the feelings of my teammates. LaMarcus, can you tell me there's no reverse racism?
Well, Paul, here's what I can tell you. When it comes to the Antonio Brown situation and you say he wasn't fined anything, actually he was. Antonio Brown is not playing right now.
No, not for the incident.
No. Antonio Brown's actions caused him to not be able to play again. He was traded to multiple teams in the span of a month. He was definitely fined. He lost his contract. There was a lot of things that transpired for Antonio Brown, and I would know this. I am an advocate football fan, and the bottom line is this: he definitely did suffer for his actions, because it wasn't just his words that he said, it was also his actions off the field that put him in the position that he was in. And when it comes to Drew Brees, the issue with Drew Brees is not him saying that there's a problem with somebody kneeling when the national anthem is going. The problem is that when he made that statement, it was not a relevant issue to the situation at hand in the narrative. He took that, his platform, and tried to change the narrative back to something that nobody had even discussed in years since that transpired with Colin Kaepernick, and he brought it back up. And so the issue was, is how dare you try to hijack the conversation and take it back to kneeling during the national anthem? This is not what we are discussing right now. We are discussing, at that time when he made the statement, the blatant murder of an African-American man in broad daylight by an officer. And that officer, at the time he made the statement, had not really faced any formal charges. And so it wasn't Drew Brees' statement that made it an issue. It was the fact that the statement was so irrelevant to the topic at hand that it was something that was being used to pull the attention away from the real issue. And with that being said, folks, we want to thank all of you all for listening here live here on KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, Fox News Radio. This is Race Across America. Paul, do you have any final words for the folks today?
Just finishing up, LaMarcus. Great show. Just remind everybody, we appreciate you listening. Today's the 4th. We are dark on the 11th. We have some issues to take care of. We'll be back on air on July 18th, and we look forward to having you join us. Please contact us during the week. If you heard anything you liked today, go to the website and support the show. That's how we stay on the air. We're for truth no matter who tells it, said Malcolm X, and so are we.